We've been doing this series in the book of Ephesians called What is Your Starting Point? That's the title of this message series. You know, when each day begins, when you wake up in the morning, what's your starting point? When things go wrong, where's your foundation? Where do you begin from? When everything is stripped away, what do you have that is left? And the whole principle of this message, you've seen it all the way through the book of Ephesians so far, is that as Christians in Christ, we have an identity that we live from. We don't search for it. In Christ, we have an identity that we live from. And so far, over the last 5 weeks, we looked at some wonderful truths. You know, in Christ, I am a saint. That was the first week. In Christ, I am blessed. In Christ, I am loved by God. That wonderful prayer at the end of chapter 1. In Christ, I am saved by grace. Chapter 2. In Christ, I am reconciled to God and I'm reconciled to one another. These were the foundation blocks that we build our life upon. Today we're in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read the passage. It'll come up on the screen. We're going to read chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. So let me read it first, and then I'm going to tell you how we're going to tackle this passage this morning. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For this reason, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which from ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which see your glory. Okay, that's the passage. And what I want to do is this. I want to give you a little bit of context for the whole passage. Okay, and then I want to focus on two particular verses. So just 2 minutes on the context of the whole passage that Paul preaches. Paul has a unique calling. Paul's calling was to preach to the Gentiles, those who weren't Jewish. He says that in verse 1, that, you know, I am here for the sake of the Gentiles. He's called to preach to those who were not Israel, who were not Gentiles, sorry, who are not Jews, to preach about the good news of Jesus. And 2 weeks ago we looked at the wonderful truth that I am reconciled in Christ to God and to one another. In Jesus Christ, whatever man from whatever nationality and whatever background is reconciled to God in Christ Jesus and reconciled one to another. Verse 6, this mystery that is through the gospel that the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. This wonderful message that Paul brought in chapter 2, that there's a new humanity, a new community in Christ Jesus. Cultural differences distinguish us. The different nationalities that we are from, the different preferences that we have, they distinguish us, but they don't define us. As Christians, as believers, we are united in Christ. The image I gave, which is very appropriate this time of year, I gave it 2 weeks ago, is that, you know, we are all different people from different backgrounds and different nationalities. But just like a kebab skewer on a barbecue that has a tomato and then the bit of chicken, the chorizo and the pepper, you know, all things skewered by that skewer, all those pieces on the barbecue, we are united in Jesus. Different flavors, different colors, different people groups, different nationalities, but united in Christ. Jesus at the center of a wonderfully and diverse people. And Paul's passion in these verses, chapter 3, 1 to 13, really is a flowing out of the end of chapter 2. He's flowing out and saying, look, I'm here to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. I'm here to preach Jesus to all people, and the church is to be the place where all are united. The church is to be the place of a diverse people group from every nationality under the sun. That's the context. That's the passion that Paul preaches in these verses. It's really an overflow of the end of chapter 2. But I want to focus on two verses today, verse 1 and verse 13. Let me just read verse 1 and verse 13 to you. So Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. And then verse 13, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, which are for your glory. Not to be discouraged because I'm a prisoner. Not to be discouraged because I am in prison. You see, Paul was writing this letter to the church at Ephesus from a prison cell. And our starting point today, which may start out when I tell it, may start out when I say it to be a strange thing to say, but I actually think it's a very important thing to say. Our starting point that Paul was telling us is that I am afflicted. You see, if you are a Christian, you can expect suffering. You can expect difficulties and trials and problems. You see, we worship a God who came to earth, was afflicted and suffered and died. And throughout the history of the church, those who've served faithfully have been afflicted painfully. Paul wrote this letter in prison. He'd been put into prison by Nero. He had preached, he had planted churches, he'd seen miracles, he'd seen healings, he'd seen thousands converted, and yet he ends up in a prison, in a dark, cold prison cell in Rome because he had been preaching Christ to the Gentiles. He was a prisoner because of Christ Jesus. Paul knew what it was like to suffer and to know affliction. Paul had a clarity and a credibility about suffering and difficulties and afflictions that often we lack. Because in 2018, there can be a tendency to think, well, in Christ, as a Christian, I should have no problems and no difficulties and no sufferings. You know, I become a Christian and everything then slots into place. I become a Christian and everything suddenly is easy. There's no arguments, there's no problem at work, there's no difficulties here, there, and everywhere. The reality is very different. The reality is that in Christ, we are still afflicted. In Christ, we still have trials and difficulties. The Bible talks a lot about suffering. It talks a lot about afflictions. You know, half of the book of Psalms, so Psalms, 150 Psalms, 150 prayers and songs and laments, and roughly half of them are to do with suffering, are to do with groanings of pain and difficulties. There's a book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. It's about the groanings of sufferings and the difficulties of life. All, apart from Haggai, of the Old Testament prophets, have a section in the prophecy in the book of the Bible, which is about affliction, which is about problems, which is about suffering. You see, it's so important as Christians, as believers, that we have a biblical understanding of afflictions and trouble and what that looks like in life. If we don't, we get consumed by our feelings, we get disappointed, we get discouraged, and we get dejected. Now, it's not all neat and tidy. I'm not going to be able to give you a message today that is going to answer every single question that you may have. Life is complex. Life is a challenge. But what I want to do is this. I want to break it down like this. I want to give you a little bit of theology. I want to put your thinking caps on for about 5 minutes. I want to give you a little bit of theology about the different kinds of affliction that we face. And then I want to be really practical. How do we then live our lives? How do we then live our lives knowing that even in Christ, as Christians, we still face trials and difficulties and affliction? So a little bit of theology and then getting really practical. How do I live? How do I live my life? What difference does it make to my life? So a little bit of theology to start with. What are some of the different kinds of afflictions that the Bible talks about? What are some of the different types of sufferings and afflictions that we face? A few of them, and I'm not going to, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just to get you to see the complex nature of afflictions and sufferings that we face. Number one, the Bible is very clear that there's an Adamic affliction. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sin. Adam and Eve mess up. And from that sin, from that going against God's command, God's way of doing things, there's a sinful nature that pollutes humanity. There's some sufferings and afflictions that just become part of the human race. The Bible is very clear that from that point onwards, every human being will suffer to varying degrees due to Adam's sins until Jesus return. So there's an Adamic affliction, the sin of Adam that has polluted humankind right up until 2018 and beyond. Then there's consequential afflictions. What by that I mean is sometimes we suffer because of foolish decisions that we make. Proverbs talks about the lazy becoming hungry, i.e. those who don't work, who don't do anything, then have to suffer the consequence of not having food to eat. Unhealthy habits that we do to our body then means we suffer ill health in future. There are some things that are just the result of our own choices. Then there's demonic affliction. It's important to say that there is a demon, there is Satan who is alive and at work in the world. Demonic afflictions and suffering as a result of demonic attacks is very real. Sometimes we can give it too much time, we can give it too much glory, we can give things to Satan that aren't actually his, but it is a reality that that is the world that we live in. Then there's the victim's affliction. What by that I mean is that sometimes we just suffer and have things that are done against us through no fault of our own. We were cheated on. We were beaten up. We were treated horribly as a child. This happened to us. This happened to us. People here, all of you, many of you will carry pain for things that have been done to you. You were the victim. You didn't do anything wrong. Things have been done to you. Then there's collective affliction. That because of the result of a people group that you are part of, you have suffered, not just because you're an isolated individual, but you are a member of a particular nation or particular family, a particular race, a particular people group. The Jews in the Holocaust, different genocides in Rwanda and other places, violence against a particular race or nationality, people suffering simply due to the place they were born or the color of their skin. Then there's a disciplinary affliction. What by this I mean is that sometimes, biblically we see this, God allows believers to experience suffering and affliction in order to mature us. There are examples throughout the scripture of this. We have a heavenly Father who loves us, but sometimes he wants us to grow. He wants to correct us. He wants to mature us. And later in hindsight, we look back and we see God's hand on our life. We see things that have led to growth. We see things that have led to maturity. And then there's the last one I'm going to mention, one that I said, which is like a vicarious affliction. Sometimes we just suffer because we are believers, because we are Christians. The ungodly oppose us. Old Testament prophets suffered because of the message that they brought. New Testament prophets were stoned and beaten up because of the message they brought. It comes in varying degrees of opposition. It can come from name-calling to death. It can come from verbal abuse and being looked over for a position at work to being harassed and chased out of home or chased out of a particular part of your life. And it's happening all over the world today. There are different types of suffering that I've not touched on. That is not an exhaustive list. That is just a list to get you thinking. It's a list to just show you that there is a complex nature to suffering and afflictions. And I wonder, what is the cause of your suffering? What is it that God could be teaching you at this time? And with that said, with that bit of a theology, that bit of thing said, look at verse 13, because this is where I want to focus. Because Paul, who is suffering, Paul, who is afflicted in prison, says, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings. Don't be discouraged because you are afflicted. Don't be discouraged because you are going through difficult times. Don't be discouraged because everything isn't well. Everything isn't well in every area of your life. Don't be discouraged. You see, so many of us, we struggle with this. We know God loves us. We know that God is good. We know that God's grace is sufficient for us. We know that God is all-powerful. And yet we look at our lives and we see an area of our life where there is afflictions and struggles and difficulties. And we struggle. We struggle because we know this to be true. And then we see an area of our life and we're afflicted and it's difficult. And we struggle. We struggle to make the connection. We struggle to live out. We struggle. And that's why I really want to help you today, because life in Christ, life as a Christian, is not to prevent us from afflictions. It's not that we get some kind of super kind of force field around us that we just walk through life and we don't have any afflictions or any troubles. That's not what God promised. But he did promise that rather we would be empowered to endure. It's not that we don't face afflictions. It's not that we don't face troubles and difficulties. But it is that God empowers us to endure. God empowers us to walk through those difficulties, to walk through those trials, to walk through those difficulties and problems that we have at work, that we have at home, that we have with different people in our family, with friends, with work colleagues, that God will empower us to endure. I am afflicted. It's the reality of saying life is going to be troubling. Life is going to be difficult. Life is going to be a hardship at times. Paul wrote this on a cold, damp floor to the church in Ephesus. And he was so important to tell them, look, don't lose courage because I'm in prison. Don't lose heart. Don't let my present trouble get you down. So then you might be asking, Mark, okay, this is all well and good. This is helpful. But how then do we, when I'm a victim of gossip, when I'm a victim of mockery, when I'm unfairly treated, when someone nicks my purse, when someone doesn't treat me fairly at work, when someone lies about me, when these things happen, what am I meant to do? How am I meant to not lose heart when I am suffering and when I am afflicted? Well, I want to tell you in a moment, give you three things, three practical things. But just before that, this is important. There are a few things that it's not. When you're afflicted, when you're going through trials, when you're going through difficulties, it's not that you have to be the tough guy and say, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to be a baby, I'm not going to admit that I've got problems. It's not that. It's not just smiling bleakly and saying everything is okay. It's not just shouting, I need to repent and there's something wrong in my life and every trouble and difficulty is a result of my sin. Because most of the troubles and difficulties are probably not a result of your sin. And it's not a guilt routine. It's not saying, well, someone's worse off than me, so I'll just carry on. It's not that. It's not those things. What Paul does throughout his letters is he offers some deep thinking about afflictions and suffering. And he writes it from a position of one who suffered. He suffered shipwrecks. He suffered being beaten up. He suffered being stoned. And at this point, he's in prison writing to the church. And he's trying to help us to say, look, embrace afflictions. Embrace suffering as part of your life. So let me give you three practical things that I hope are helpful. When trials come, when afflictions come, when difficulties come. You say, it's all very good, Mark, to know some of the areas that my sufferings may come from. But help me. What do I do? Help me, help me. How do I process it? Help me, help me. What does that look like in my own life? So three practical things that I think help me, and I hope that they help you. Number one, we are afflicted for God's glory. You see, Paul was not being afflicted here and in prison and suffering because he had sinned. Rather, others had sinned against him. Nero had put him in prison. He was a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Many of you in this room will suffer things and afflictions that are nothing to do with your sin and nothing to do with what you've done wrong. They're nothing to do with your behavior. They're nothing to do with that. And as you suffer those things, as you suffer those afflictions, I want you to think of Jesus Christ and his sufferings. You see, God did not suffer this so that we wouldn't suffer. God suffered so that when we do, we would know that Jesus understands and that Jesus would help us to become more like him. Let just for a moment we reflect on the sufferings of Jesus, because we can forget. In our world, in our little afflictions, in our little struggles, we can forget the sufferings of our Savior. Jesus Christ, the night before he went to Calvary, sweated blood because he was so nervous and so upset and so in terror of what lay before him the next day. He was anxious. The next time you're anxious, the next time you're worried about something, remember Jesus sweated blood because he was so anxious about Calvary and about going to the cross. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was betrayed by someone who had spent 3 years with him. He was arrested over lies, things that weren't true. He was physically beaten. He was whipped. His flesh kind of like could be pulled apart because of the nails in the whip that the Romans used. Meant the back of him was a complete mess. He suffered. He lost so much blood, and yet he had to carry his own cross up towards Calvary before collapsing and someone else taking it out for him. On Golgotha, on Calvary, they pulled his beard, they spat on him, they mocked him, they put spikes into the most sensitive part of his body, and his body convulsed on the cross. Eventually, he died, he choked on his own saliva, and he died the most painful death that man has made possible. You see, Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered greatly for our sins. That's the gospel. Jesus died in my place. Jesus paid the price. All who believe in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, can have eternal life because of Jesus' sufferings on the cross. But there's more. You see, there's more. Because Jesus' sufferings on the cross means that he understands. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says that we have a high priest We have a high priest who did not sin, and a high priest who suffered in every single way, tempted in every single way, and yet did not sin. We can relate, and he can relate, because he suffered everything and yet did not sin. You see, there's something wonderful about going through trials and difficulties and afflictions, and that is that we are not alone. Jesus understands. Whatever you are going through, Jesus understands. He's been through. He's been through sufferings. He's been through afflictions. He's been through it all. And as we go through trials, as we go through afflictions, we become more like him. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you are afflicted. We are afflicted. We go through sufferings and difficulties for our own growth. When we suffer trials, when we suffer difficulties, it's a divine appointment for us to grow. I know from my own life that the times of trial, the times of suffering, are the times when my faith has grown the most. I can think when I was 19 and went to India and suffered in physical ways and was away from friends and family, God solidified my faith. This is what you really believe, Mark. This is what it's all about. When everything is stripped away, Jesus is there. Jesus will always be there. Jesus is there in season, out season, whatever country you may be in, whatever you may be doing. Jesus is there. Trials, difficulties, suffering, but Jesus is there. I know in this church, over the 8 years of leading this church, in the most difficult times and the most challenging times, they're the times that I have grown the most. They're the times I put my faith and trust in Jesus the most. They're the times that I have leaned on him the most. They're the times that I have grown in my faith. It's not been easy. It's been difficult. There have been times when you just wanted to hide away in a corner. But that is the time when you grow through those trials and through those difficulties. I remember last year, some of you may know, my daughter Grace had a horrific accident and it looked like it was going to be severely problematic, a head injury, but through the prayer, through the difficulties, through the struggles, through the trials, God deepens your faith. You find roots down to things that you thought you would never have. You find a grace of Jesus that you thought you never ever had or ever knew possible. When trials come, when difficulties come, you gain a deeper understanding of what really matters. You gain a deeper understanding that people matter more than objects, more than projects, more than jobs, more than plans, more than finances. You gain a deeper understanding that Jesus was a suffering servant, that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be a helper. You gain a deeper understanding of these things when you go through suffering. And you gain a deeper understanding of God's ways, which are not my ways and are not how I would do things. But Genesis 50 and verse 20, at the end of the story of Joseph, says what man meant for evil, God meant for good. We don't understand it, but when we go through suffering and go through trials, God's purposes and plans are worked out. And we read Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for those who love him. I tell you, suffering and trials, we might not like them. They're not the way that we would choose. But when we go through them with our eyes open and our eyes on Jesus, it's times we grow. It's times we wrestle but gain strength. It's times we struggle but then work out what is true and what we believe. Sufferings and trials, they are good for our growth. It sounds bizarre to say, but it is true. And then the third thing is that in our suffering and trials, we are afflicted for credibility. Say, what do you mean by that, Mark? This is what I mean. When we are afflicted, when we go through struggles, when we go through trials, you have a unique credibility then to speak into different situations and about different subjects. We can bring healing to others who are going through a similar trial or a similar difficulty or a similar affliction. Someone who's battled alcoholism or battled addictions. They've come through that. And then by God's grace and God's strength, they have a credibility to speak to others who are going through similar issues. Those who've been victims of crime, things, horrific things that may have happened to them or loved ones. Wrestling through the dark times, wrestling through the difficulties, wrestling through the trials. They don't have a credibility to speak to others who are going through similar things. People have been treated badly at work. People have been treated badly by friends and families. You get through these things with God's help. You wrestle with these things. You come through these afflictions. And God uses you. God uses you powerfully to speak to others because you have a credibility. You have a credibility to speak into others' lives. You see, Jesus, in his suffering, he identifies with us. He sympathizes with us. It's wonderful that we have a Savior who understands suffering, who understands afflictions, who understands the things that we go through. Now, some of you here, I know some of you, don't know all of you that well, but some of you, you've had experiences. You've gone through things in your life that have been horrific. You've gone through things that by the grace of God, you have kept going, that by the grace of God, you have wrestled and you have been strong and God's grace has been perfect for you in those struggles and in those dark times. And then that compassion that you have for fellow sufferers, for fellow people going through similar things, means that you can connect with them, means that you can fight for justice alongside them, means that you can comfort them and put your arm around them, means that you can come and speak words of hope and words of life and words of truth. Because you've been there. You've been through it. Jesus has held your hand. Jesus has walked with you through your valley of the shadow of death. And you have a credibility and a power that can speak to those who are in that situation at this time. So let me conclude. Verse 13. I want you to have this at the forefront of your minds this week. When you are afflicted, it may be something small. It may be something big. But whatever it is on the scale, I want to say to you, do not be discouraged by the trials and the afflictions that you are going through. Life is tough. Life is difficult. Life has challenges. Life upsets us. Life disappoints us. So it's important to know that as Christians, we are afflicted. You remember, this is the same Paul that in the first three chapters has said, as believers, you're a saint, you're blessed, you're loved, you're saved by grace, and you're afflicted. It's not that we go all kind of like negative and I'm afflicted and afflicted and afflicted. No, it's that we have a sense of reality. We have a sense of looking at the world with our eyes wide open. Affliction, trials, difficulties, yes, but I'm blessed, but I'm loved, but I'm saved by grace, but I'm a saint, and I'm reconciled to God, and I'm reconciled to one another. And so we have a whole understanding of the counsel of God. Jesus understands the suffering that you are going through. You're not alone. He understands. He went through the most horrific suffering for you. He died on the cross for you, so that he might save all those who believe in him, and so that you are not alone in your suffering. We grow through afflictions. We grow through trials. We grow through difficulties. There's a quote come up on the screen, and I thought this is a really helpful way to finish. And it says this: when we long for life without difficulties, remind us, Lord, that oaks grow strong in contrary winds and diamonds are made under pressure. I wish there was an easy way. That kind of life is all blossom and kind of walking through green meadows. But it's not. It's a trial, and it's difficult, and it's struggling, and it's complex, and it's difficult. But Jesus understands. We grow through those afflictions, and God gives credibility to many of us to reach those in the world because of the experience that we have gone through.